your attention, please. The lid is on. Thank you and good night.
Well, that's Marlene from the UN spokesperson's office, who can often be heard on the internal Tannoy system at the end of the day to tell us all that, officially at least, it's over. I'm Matt Wells, and welcome to our podcast series inspired by that rather odd but kind of catchy phrase, The Lid Is On. This time we've got a new but at the same time classic edition of the show, thanks to the extraordinary archives of UN Radio, which stretch back more than 70 years. April the 7th is designated the International Day of Reflection on the Genocide in Rwanda. That's the date back in 1994 when the systematic and brutal murder of what ended up being 800,000 people began throughout the African country. The vast majority of victims were Tutsi, but moderate Hutu, Twa and others were also targeted. So when was genocide first legally defined, and what exactly is the law that countries came up with to prosecute and deter the crime of genocide? There's one man above all others whose tireless efforts led to the adoption by the UN General Assembly of what's known as the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. His name is Raphael Lemkin, and the convention came into force in January 1951. Just a few years afterwards, UN Radio brought his incredible story to life on the airwaves. It's dramatic, atmospheric, and given the continuing threat of genocide in places like South Sudan, Burundi, and elsewhere today, we thought it was well worth another careful listen. From 1958, here's Lemkin, Citizen of the World.
Citizens of the World.
Name?
Raphael Lemkin.
Age?
9.
Nationality?
Polish.
That book you've got in your hand is called Quo Vadis. It says in the book that when the Christian martyrs were thrown to the lions in the Roman arena, the crowd cheered. Why did they cheer? Why didn't they call the police? They would call the police if one ordinary citizen was killed. Why didn't they call the police when thousands were being murdered? You're upset about it now, Raphael Lemkin, but you're only a boy, an impressionable boy. You'll forget about it. You'll forget.
In this series of programs, United Nations Radio brings you authentic personal stories of the new human being of the century, the citizen of the world. Today, the story of world citizen Raphael Lemkin.
Raphael Lemkin, how old are you?
19.
Occupation?
Student.
You're still worried about that crowd in the Roman arena?
Yes, them and a lot of others as well.
What are you doing about it?
Thinking. Just thinking.
Who's that playing the piano?
That's my mother. I like her to play when I'm trying to make up my mind. I don't feel so much alone.
Raphael. Raph.
Mother?
You have such a pained look on your face. Is it a bellyache or is it an idea?
I'm trying to make up my mind. Help me.
How do you mean, help you? One comes to one's own decisions, especially young men.
Listen to me, then.
That's what you meant in the first place. Listen to you. I'm listening.
I look at myself, I size up the kind of person I am, the kind of things that interest me. I come to a conclusion. I come to two conclusions. First, what would I like to be? A historian.
Good.
Second, there's one thing I would like not to be. A lawyer.
Good. So, you're still troubled about the killing of the peoples. You're still determined to try to change this.
How is it that in all the thousands of years of history, this one thing has never been a crime? Whole peoples deliberately wiped out, deliberate murder on a mass scale, and never a law against it. Where is the conscience of the world against this monstrous, this rotten, this infamous, low, cowardly, terrible thing? Where is the conscience of the world?
Raphael, it's a terrible thing to be the conscience of the world. It leads to loneliness, frustration, terrible agony, Raphael. And what chance of success?
What can I do, Mother? I'm obsessed by the horror of it.
What can you do? You'll be a lawyer.
Name?
Raphael Lemkin.
Age?
32.
Occupation?
Lawyer. I'm the public prosecutor of Warsaw.
What's the matter, Raphael Lemkin?
What is the matter? Have you heard of Hitler?
And what can you do about Hitler?
I shall fight him. I shall raise my voice in any way possible so that the whole world can know the vicious nature of the crime he's committing against humanity. Hitler is a mass murderer.
Well, Lemkin, it's good to find you in your office for a change. I want no more beating around the bush, Lemkin. You have a job to do. Public prosecutor, that's your business. Stick to it. No more nonsense. No more articles about Herr Hitler and the extermination of minorities. No more. We've had enough of it.
Just like that. What shall I do then? Close my mind and blind my eyes?
Lemkin, I remind you. You're not a private citizen. You're a public official. You understand? Herr Hitler would have the impression that no official could write so without the sanction of the government which employs him. You understand that? This government is negotiating a non-aggression pact with the Germans.
I understand.
Good. The articles will cease.
No.
No?
No.
All right. You are ready to hand in your resignation, then?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Raphael Lemkin, age 32. What is your occupation?
I used to be public prosecutor of Warsaw.
What are you doing now, Raphael Lemkin?
I'm a delegate to an international conference of lawyers meeting in Madrid. I've given them a proposed bill to outlaw this mass killing.
And what have they done about it?
The bill was tabled. No, we will not say yes. No, we will not say no. But I haven't come to the end of the fight yet.
Lemkin, I would say you haven't come to the beginning of the fight yet. Age 43. What are you doing now?
I have escaped.
Escaped? From where?
From the Nazis. You must understand that they did not love me very much.
Yes, that's understandable. And now where are you?
Now I'm in America. I'm an advisor on foreign affairs to the United States War Department.
Then you're happy.
My parents have been killed in the concentration camp at Auschwitz with 4 million others. They were exterminated.
So, you go on with your work?
Yes, I go on. Now I've made a name for this crime. Is it not strange that in tens of thousands of years there's been no name for so monstrous a thing? Genocide. Genos, the Greek for race, nation, tribe. Caedere, the Latin, to kill. Genocide, the slaughter of the peoples. And I will fight to make an international law against this genocide.
What do you have, fella?
Coffee, please.
Anything else?
How much is a roll and butter?
10 cents.
Yes, we'll have a roll and butter, too.
Coming up.
Raphael Lemkin.
Yes?
How old are you now?
I'm 45.
What's the matter, Raphael Lemkin? Why do you look so pale?
Why not? I don't eat enough.
Why?
Why? Because I have no money.
But you had a good job.
I gave up my job. I've no time for a job. I must fight this fight against genocide until I've won. Understand, I'm not a government with unlimited resources of money at my disposal. I'm only a private citizen.
Coffee and roll and butter. Here you are.
You'll excuse me if I eat while I talk. This is my noon meal.
How are you coming in your fight?
I'm making progress. Always. In the darkest hour. And then the world lights up. At Geneva, United Nations conference there. I went to put my law before them. But I couldn't seem to make them understand. I tell you, I was nearly crazy. Late at nights, I walked through the street. Thank you.
Lemkin.
Oh, Mr. Ambassador.
You mean to tell me you're still walking the streets at this hour, still worrying about your law?
Yes.
Why are you so depressed? You've presented your case well. We've listened to you.
Let me ask you, then. Will you support the genocide treaty?
Well,
then there must be something wrong with me. My idea's good, but I've not been able to make you understand it. So the fault must be with me.
Are you walking back toward the hotel? We can talk on the way.
By all means. Mr. Ambassador, do you know that in the time of Genghis Khan, the Mongols slaughtered more than 10 million people? The people were so terrified that if Genghis said to them, "Men, women, and children, lie down on the open ground," and then if he went away to come back weeks later, the people would still be where he left them? Do you know that in Tsarist Russia, during the pogroms, the Jews used to make for their daughters' dowries feather pillows and feather comforters? When the Cossacks came into the house of a Jew, they would cut his belly open and stuff him with the feathers from his daughter's dowry. So you see, the idea is important. It is not some isolated thing that has happened once and then never again. History is full of genocide, and the future must be protected from it. Must be.
Yes. Now I understand. I should have understood at once. Well, it's not too late. You know Herbert Evatt, the Australian delegate?
I know of him. I've not spoken with him.
All right. This morning, then, at 10 o'clock, I shall have arranged an appointment for you with him. You put your case before him. I guarantee I know the man. He will help you in every way he can. All right?
All right. All right. Yes?
Age?
49 now.
Occupation?
I'm a professor now, teaching international law at Yale University.
And your fight against genocide?
I've made progress at last, through the United Nations. I was there when the president of the General Assembly, Herbert Evatt, put the Genocide Convention to a vote.
I shall now put the main resolution, number A, of recommended by the committee. The General Assembly approves the annexed convention on the prevention and punishment of the crime of genocide and proposes it for signature and ratification or accession in accordance with its Article 11. I won't read the whole of the document. A roll call vote on this. In the first country, those in favour of the resolution approving of the convention in this way will say yes. Those against will say no. Those abstaining will say abstain. First country to vote on the roll call vote is India.
India. Yes.
The General Assembly approved the text of the Genocide Convention. Then it was up to the governments to ratify the convention.
Yes.
Now, over a score of countries have accepted the Genocide Treaty.
Yes.
It is an international law.
Yes.
But genocide
is
a crime.
Yes. Norway.
What's the matter, Raphael Lemkin? Why do you still look so worried?
Yes.
Single-handed, almost.
Yes.
You've brought about an international law. What more do you want?
What more do I want? I want that we should not rest on the laurels of this great success. I want that every country should ratify this treaty so that it might cover with its protective wings the whole globe. I want that this feeling for humanity should also be in the hearts of people. That in the future we do not turn our back to a human group in distress beyond the boundaries of our country, as you do not turn your back when you hear the screaming of your neighbors who are murdered in a silent night.
The UN story you've just heard concerned a man who single-handedly developed the idea that it is an international crime to wipe out whole peoples. It is for his humanity, his courage, and his fight that we of the United Nations recognize Raphael Lemkin as a true citizen of the world. What you've just heard is fact. All names are real. Details from eyewitness accounts and unrestricted documents in United Nations files. The script for Citizens of the World by Howard Rodman. Direction by William Hamilton. The program was produced by Gerald Keane of United Nations Radio.
That was Lemkin, Citizen of the World, first broadcast on the 1st of January 1958. The story of the man who, through the UN, literally defined humanity's worst crime in the hope that genocide could one day be consigned to history. This is the Lid Is On podcast from the United Nations. I'm Matt Wells. Thanks for listening.